So really, we just started going through the list, and we're up to Magid. So we did Kadesh, Orchatz, Yachatz, Tarfatz, Yachatz. Now we're up to Magid. And Magid, of course, is the central part of the Haggadah. And this is the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. This is a Daraisa. There is a commandment from the Torah that the night of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the night before the morning that we left, we are mechuyev to talk about Yetzias Mitzrayim. What is the source? Where does the Torah say? There's a chiyuv d'oraisa of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. That is the pasuk, v'igadata levincha, you shall tell your child, v'yomahu lemer, on that day, which we'll see means the night when the day begins. Bavur za'asa Hashem li, because of what the Eibishter did for me, it say see me Mitzrayim, when I was taken out of Mitzrayim, and you'll recall later the Haggadah uses that as the proof. Chayav adam liros es atzmai, ki ilu hu yatsa mi Mitzrayim, because you say, but say see when I was taken out of Mitzrayim. I'm not going to go through all the drushes. Obviously the Gemara in Pesachim asks the kasha, how do you know that you're mechuyev if you're by yourself? The Torah says, v'gadat levincha. So maybe there's only a chiyuv when you have a son or a child that you're saying. The Gemara is a drasha that it even applies if you're all by yourself. And in the Sifrei Chassidus, they add this little kenech that igadat levincha, you have to speak to the inner child within yourself. Again, you know, in modern pop psychology, there actually is a lot of talk about speaking to the child within you. And the Sifrei Chassidus actually say the same yisoid, because the pasuk says in Hosea, Ki nar Yisrael hu v'yohaveihu. Now, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I love the Jewish people because they are youthful, perpetual youth, in terms of enthusiasm, in terms of simcha, in terms of wanting to grow and wanting to explore. This is the idea of being a child. The Berditchever used to say that there are three things you learn from a child. One is, when you fall down, you get up again. You don't give up. A child learning how to walk is one of the most amazing things. As hard as it is, that kid is going to struggle and struggle. And sometimes you look at a child learning to walk and they fall and they fall and they fall. And even when they're learning to crawl, right? Crawling is very difficult initially. They go, this tremendous strain. And you wonder, why are they doing this? But there's something within them that says, I gotta go by here. So the Berditchever says, you learn that from a child. The second thing is that when a child hurts, he cries. He or she cries. One should cry to Hashem. And the third, you never get bored. You always find something to do. Now, Lamaisa, there is a chiluk between modern children, I think, and children of the ancient times when I grew up and the like. And that is, there is a concept of boredom now. The kids do get bored. Like, what do? You know, because people are so used to it. Well, maybe not so much here, but places where they have, you know, TV and internet and all of those things. So there have to be an instant gratification. But in the days when we used to walk to school 25 miles, so all of those days, so we were never bored. We always had something to do. So that's the Garak Levinchah. Now, just as a little hapdama, I'm going to be marach in this Shabbos Haggadah, but just to give you the basic structure. We know that there's a once a year mitzvah called Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, and there is a daily mitzvah that is called Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, and that is derived from a different pasuk. The mitzvah of Sipur is V'higadata Levincha Bayomahu Lemor. The mitzvah of Zechira is Laman Tiskor Es Yaim Tseischa Me'aretz Mitzrayim Kail Yemei Chayecha. Now, Lagabe, the mitzvah of Zechira, is an interesting reversal. For sure, the mitzvah is in the daytime, because that's when we left. And there's a machlokes ben Zayma and the Chachamim. This is both in the Mishnah in Brachos and the Haggadah itself. If you also include the night, do you say Iker Geula Mitzafra? The main Geula was in the morning, and therefore you're not Masker at night. Or do I say that the night is also a Chelet of the Geula because of Makas Bechoros, and you are maskir at night. Right? That's the machlokes ben Zalman and the Chachamim. It says Yemei Chayecha. So if it would have said Yemei Chayecha, the days of your life, that would have meant the day. Kail is being marbe something. So according to Ben Zayma, it's marbe the night. According to the Chachamim, it's marbe even limos hamashiach. And you don't do it at night. Right, that's the pashas of the machlokas. Like Ben Zoma, you don't do it limos hamashiach, and you do it at night. Like the Chachamim, you do it limos hamashiach, and you don't do it at night. Yeah? Now, I'll hold off. So Rav Chaim asked the following kasha. Rav Chaim used to say like this. We paskin like Ben Zayma, that you're mechuyev to be masker at night. Now, given the fact that the Torah doesn't say that Sipur has to have a certain nusach, right? The Torah doesn't say you have to read the Haggadah. There was no Haggadah. So you could be, I'd say, with even a short thing. In fact, many Rishayim say, the Rif and the Rashba both say, why is there no bracha on the Haggadah? Famous question. If Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is a mitzvah min haTorah, why don't I say at the beginning of the Haggadah, beginning of Maggid at least, Asher Kiddushanu b'mitzvosav v'tzivanu l'saper b'yetzias Mitzrayim, right? Why isn't there a bracha on the Haggadah? So both the Rif and the Rashba say that there's no bracha on the Haggadah because you could be Yotzei even with a Mila Achas. For example, the Rif says, you're already Yotzei in Kiddush with the word Zecher l'tzias Mitzrayim. So as soon as you make Kiddush, the Daraisa you're Yotzei. This is what the Rif says. The Rashba says, as a klal, you never have a Birchas HaMitzvah on something that doesn't have a minimum shear. People then ask the Kasha, what about Birchas HaTorah? You're also Yotzei. So the Rishon Rav says, Birchas HaTorah is not a Birchas HaMitzvah, it's a Bracha of Shevach V'Hodah. But a Birchas HaMitzvah has to have a shear. Has to have a shear. So the Chaim would say, if the Rishonim say you could be Yotzei Sipur with anything, then what is the Torah being Maisif? Because even if there wouldn't be a mitzvah of Sipur, you would be Mechuyev to mention Zechira anyway. In other words, if you're Mechuyev to be Maskir every night, and a minimal Zechira is a fulfillment of the Deraisa of Sipur, then what is the Torah Maisif? It's giving you a mitzvah that you already would have to do anyway. This was Rav Chaim's Hakdama to the Seder. So because of this, his maskana was, again, how he's chelik and rishayim is shver, but his maskana is, that it's a davar pasha, that you're not yaitzei the mitzvah of zechira with just a short thing, and hagam, that the nusach of the Haggadah is not the doraisa, but the nusach of the Haggadah is structured on four chilukim between Sipur and Zechira. There are four chilukim between Sipur and Zechira, and the Haggadah is a codification of these four chilukim. Chiluk number one is Derech Shelu Tshuva. That is Zechira Kol Yemei Sashana. You don't have to have a question and answer format. Here, you're mechuyev to have questions. And the Gemara says, even if you don't have a son asking you the questions, you have to ask yourself. So Shelu Tshuva does not apply to Zechira Kol Hashana. It only applies to Sipur. That's one thing. The second thing that differentiates Sipur and Zechira is what the Mishnah calls Maschil Bignus U'Masayim Bishvach. That the whole year I just have to say Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. Leil Pesach, I gotta begin with the gnus. The gnus is the degradation, the bad part of it. Now there's a machlokas in the Gemara. What part of the Haggadah is the gnus? Is it avodim hayinu, we were slaves, it's avdus? Or is it mitchila avdei avayda zora hayu avayseinu, that we had the gnus of avayda zora? And that's why the Haggadah has both, which means in reality, our Haggadah is a mixture of two Haggadahs. There apparently was Haggadah version A that emphasized the journey from Avodah Zarah to Emunah in Hashem. And then there was Haggadah version B that emphasized going from Avdus to Cheras. And our Haggadah is a combination of two Nuschais. Now, I know Rav David Kalman in Flatbush, very Chashuva Rav, Talmud Chacham, he even tries to show which paragraph of Maggid belongs to which version, meaning this is the version A paragraph, this is the version B paragraph. But be it as it may, it's not enough to begin with the Geula, you got to be maschil with the Genus. The third chiluk, Rav Chaim said, between Sipur and Sechira, is the statement of Rabban Gamliel. Rabban Gamliel says towards the end of Maggid, "Call me Shalayomar, anyone that doesn't explain three things, Pesach, Matzah, Maror, Lo Yatsa Yedei Chayvasei, has not fulfilled his mitzvah." Now, what mitzvah has he not fulfilled? So the Rishonim say, Pesach, Matzah, and Maror you do fulfill. In other words, I eat the Pesach, I fulfill it, even if I didn't explain it. So it doesn't mean I didn't fulfill Pesach, Matzah, Maror, but it means I didn't fulfill Sipur, Yetzias Mitzrayim. And that chiyuv of being Masbir, Pesach, Matzah, Maror, that is unique only to a Sipur, that's not a Chiluk of Zechira. I mentioned before, I may have mentioned it even the other day, that this is a very, very important thing to be aware of, because Rabban Gamliel is towards the end of the Maggid, before the second cup. So the women, or the men, whoever is handling the food, I don't want to say it has to be women, but whoever is handling the food will go into the kitchen around then to try to be mesader things, because it's close to the meal. So punkt, if they're leaving the table, bedafka, when they read the paragraphs of Rabban Gamliel, that's a very good chisaron, because shteit, lo yotza yedei chayvasa. There are parts of the Haggadah that if somebody skipped, they would still be, I tell you, you should try to say everything, but if you miss the four banim, whatever it would be, certainly Chag Gadya, the things at the end, although the Chidah has a whole tshuva about Chag Gadya. Chag Gadya, number one, is an Ashkenazic piyut, it's not even a Sephardic piyut, but so there was a Sephardi who was making fun of Ashkenazim for Chag Gadya, like a children's rhyme. So another Sephardi Shechacham put him in Cherem for being Malig al Divrei Chachamim. And when the guy that was put in Cherem complained to the Chidah, who was also Sephardi, the Chidah said he was 100% right. He says, these piyutim have Kedusha, they have holiness, you're Mazalzel and a piyut of Am Yisrael. He says, you're a Malik al Dibrei Chachamim. So Chag Gadya is, you know, all of these things are important, but if Lamaisa you skipped it, you know, you are Yaitzei Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim. If, on the other hand, you didn't say Rabban Gamliel, you're in big trouble. So as a result, anyone that's going to leave the table during that time either should go ahead and read it before they leave, even if people aren't up to there yet, or to be sure to read it afterwards, at least before the second cut, because the Maggid should be said, the Dafka on the Kos Sheni. Right, so far we have three Chilukim, right? We have She'elo Tshuva, we have Maschil B'Gnus Misayim B'Shvach, we have the obligation of Pesach, Matzah, and Maror. And then the fourth, which Rav Chaim enumerates, and his son, the Brisker Rav, said, was the hardest mitzvah to fulfill on Pesach. And this is what we talked about the other day a little bit. And that is, Chayav Adam Lira Ses Atzmai, Kila Hu Yatzim Mitzrayim. The whole year, I just remember what Hashem did. Zechira. Leil Pesach, you're mechuyev to actually be markish that you've experienced Geula. And that's a very, very hard thing to do. But those are the four chilukim. So structurally, Rav Chaim, at the beginning of every Seder, Rav Chaim would be masbir, that we have to understand what the Torah is telling me to do in Sipur, that the Torah already didn't tell me to do because of Zechira. Because if we paskin like Ben Zayma, that even if there wouldn't have been Sipur, I would have to mention Yetzias Mitzrayim. So what is the Torah making me do that I already don't have to do? Is it just giving me two mitzvahs instead of one? So Rav Chaim says no, that these are the elements that the Chazal saw, both through Drushas and through Maseirah, that Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim has to be based on that. Which means Rav Chaim therefore says that the shittas that say your yaitse with mila achas, your yaitse with zecher yitzias mitzrayim, avada is not emes. So then you'll ask me the kasha. So according to Rav Chaim, why don't you say a bracha on sifri yitzias mitzrayim? The riff and the Rashba's teretz is not going to be a good teretz. So the answer is there are, you know, many other teretzim. I'll give you two other teretzim. One is from the Tzvas Emes, so I'm being Yashiv Rav Chaim with the Tzvas Emes. I'm sure in Shemayim everybody gets along. The Tzvas Emes says a beautiful thing. The Tzvas Emes points out that you find on mitzvahs bein adam lechaverei, you never make a bracha. You never make a bracha on kibud avayim. You don't make a bracha on stoka. Right? Why don't you make a bracha on bein adam lechaverei? So the Tzvas Emes says an interesting psychological insight. He says, when it comes to being gaimel chesed to another person, you shouldn't be doing it only because HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded it. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to have a hergesh of rachamim. I mean, if I were to say to an ani or to my parents, okay, I'm doing this for you because God made me do it, and you know, I'm going to get punished if I don't do it. You see, the very fact that a person says, Shev kidishonu b'mitzvosav, that implies, I'm doing it with mitzvah. He says, Fakert, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to have a teva of HaKores HaTov, a teva of rachamim. And therefore, bein adam l'chaveirai, where the igur tachlis of the mitzvah is to give you a certain netiya, a midah tova, you bedavka don't say you're only doing it l'shem mitzvah. So memela, they want to say, Tzvas Emes says, since the yisoid of Yetzias Mitzrayim is the heritage of Hakaras HaTov and the feeling that I'm actually being redeemed, then you shouldn't say, oh, I'm doing this because Hashem said I got to do this. No, you want to do this. And Memela, on an inyan of Hakaras HaTov, you don't say the bracha Asher Kiddushonu B'Mitzvayim. That's what the Tzvas Emes says. The Nesivus, by the way, who has a beautiful parish on the Agada, I don't know if any of you have seen it. This is Maisen Nisim. The Nesivus was a parish on the Agada, and in recent years, they came out with a new edition which kind of explains. You actually have, now that we have Perushim on the Perushim, they have the Agada of the Nesiv, with like parish on the Nesiv, and the Agada of the Nesivus, the parish on the Nesivus. You could actually get like Sifsei Chachamims on Meforshim of the Agada. And the Nesivus has an interesting klal. He brings from the Balamor that we have a klal in Birchas HaMitzvah, you don't make a bracha on a bracha. For example, why don't you make a bracha on Birchas HaMazon? before you bench. It's a mitzvah d'oraisa to bench. So why don't I say, Asher kidishanu b'mitzvaysa v'tzivanu l'varech Birchas HaMazon? So the Baal HaMor says a yesod that when the mitzvah itself is a bracha, so it does double duty. It becomes both the mitzvah and the bracha on the mitzvah. When the mitzvah is not a bracha, so I make a bracha on a mitzvah. When the mitzvah is a bracha, so that becomes both the bracha and the mitzvah at the same time. So the Nesivus wants to say, since a chelek of magid, even though it's only a chelek, is the bracha go'al Yisrael. Right before the second cup, we make a bracha go'al Yisrael. So Chazal were kaveya that a chelek of the sipur is derech bracha. Memela, he wants to apply the klal, ein omrim bracha al bracha. This is what he wants to apply shel su to birkas hamaz, right? So Rav Chaim will give these terutzim and many other terutzim as well, but he does not agree. Again, he says he does not agree with the swara that Sipur doesn't have a measure, and your Yaitse with Zechel Yitzias Mitzrayim, you have to have these elements of Shelo Tshuva, Zvil Bignus, Pesach Matzu Maror, and the fourth one is not a matter of what you say, but it's a matter of how you feel, that you have to be Margish, that the Abishah took me. All right, so that's the general idea of Magid. Then, as I said the other day, the reason we break the Matzah before the Magid is because Chazal say, Lechem Oni. Oni has two meanings, the bread of affliction and the bread of recitation. You recite the, therefore, you must recite the Haggadah over the bread the way an ani eats it, and an ani eats broken pieces of bread because the ani saves his bread from meal to meal. He'll break off and save it for later. So you have to be makayim. Now this is lechatchil, this is not liikuva, but you have to be makayim the two meanings of oni simultaneously, the lechem sha'onin olav dvarim harbe, and the lechem of anani madarko shalani beprusa, that anani eats broken pieces of bread. Now the Haggadah starts off, or the Maggid starts off, with the paragraph of Hal Lachma Anya. And Hal Lachma Anya is distinctive because it is the only part of the Haggadah that is Beloshen Aramis. Right, the rest of the Haggadah is in Hebrew. And indeed, the Rambam in the Haggadah, in his Haggadah, is Madgish, that this was added Bisman HaGolos, that Bisman HaMikdash, they did not say the paragraph of Halach Ma'anya. It was added after the Chorban, at a time when the Yidden were speaking Aramaic and the like. But why do we begin the Haggadah B'Lashon Aramis for Davka? So Rav Avadya brings, I don't think this is his own Chiddush, but he brings it from other Sforim. By the way, Rav Avadya's Haggadah, Chazayin Avadya, is a very, very nice Haggadah. Many, many beautiful, beautiful Pshatim that he brings. He says the following. The Gemara in Shabbos says that whenever Rabbi Eliezer would be Mavakar a Chayla, he would bless the Chayla in Aramaic. Hamakom Yad Kirucha Lishlam. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu remember you for peace. So frek the Gemara Kasha, how could he be Mavakesh Rachamim and be Mavarech be Aramis? We say, Le'aylam al Yishal Adam Tzirachav B'Lashon Aramis. A person should never ask prayer to Hashem in Aramaic, because the Malachei Hashareis are not Makirim B'Lashon Arami, and they don't understand Aramaic, because Aramaic, now they do understand English and French and German, but Aramaic confuses them, because it's a jargon, because Aramaic is part Hebrew, part other things, and the Malachi Asharis don't know what Aramaic means. And because they don't understand Aramaic, they cannot help us in bringing our tefillahs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So one should not be Shayel Tzirachav B'Lashon Aramis. So how could Rabbi Eliezer be Mavakesh Tzorchei Chayla B'Lashon Aramis? Zogta Gemara Teretz, that since he did this in front of the Chayla, and it says the Shekhinah is Lamaila, Mirashaysav Shalchaila. The Shekhinah itself is with the Chayla. So he doesn't need Malachim. When you pray in the presence of the Chayla, Hashem is Makabo of the Tefillah without an Emtsoi, and Hashem knows Aramaic. And that's why, by the way, we use Aramaic when we're Betzibor, because Betzibor, the Shekhinah is here. Right? We don't say the Aramaic prayers, the Yechidus, because Malachi Yashareis are not Mevinim, but we can say it Dominion, we can say it B'chayla. So Rav Avadya brings, since Leil Pesach is called Leil Shimurim, the special night of protection, and because Yitzias Mitzrayim itself was Anibul Malach, Hashem was Goyalus without a Malach, without an Emtsoi, and every Leil Pesach we experience the Hiskarvus to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with no need for Malachim, we bedafka can begin the Seder. Not, I guess the whole Seder they wanted to be B'Lashon HaKadosh. But we begin be Aramis, L'chol HaPachos to be Merames, that this is the night we don't need Malachi Hashareis to bring our tefillahs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is the night when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Makabel our tefillahs.
Isn't that always HaKadosh Baruch Hu Malachi Kavodah Kavodah?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So he's always there. Whether
well, of course he's always there, but he chooses that we need a certain, that normally we need a certain siyua of that's what the Gemara says. You need a certain siyua of the Malachi Hashareis. By the way, the Amudei Or has a very interesting thing. He points out that, you know, we don't say Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuso Le'olam Voed out loud, because by creation, except on Yom Kippur when we're like Malachim, because Moshe Rabbeinu overheard this Shevach from the Malachi Hashareis and kind of stole it. So we don't want to say it out loud because it may upset the Malachim, whatever it is, we say it. So the Amudei Or points out that if you think about it, Yeheshmei Rabba Mevarach Li'olam Olmei Olmaya, may Hashem's great name be blessed forever and ever, is actually the Aramaic of Baruch Shem Kavod Machusol Olam Void. So it's interesting that Baruch Shem Kavod we have to say quietly, and Yeheshmei Rabba we're able to say, and we're supposed to say, B'kol Ram. So Zakti Amudei are very gavaldic. If the whole reason why we have to say Baruch Shem quietly is because the Malachim will be angry at us that we stole their thing, but they don't understand Aramaic. So when we say Baruch Shem Kavod in Aramaic, we can say it out loud, Taka, because that's a Lashon that they're not mocking. Right? But you think about it, Yehei Shmei Rabba, Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuso, may his great name be blessed, is Yehei Shmei Rabba. Except it's B'Lashon Aramis. Okay. Now, okay, so that's why it's Aramaic. Now, let's look at the first sentence here. Ha, right, ha, lachma, some regard as ha, kill lachma, but whatever it is, but regard ha, lachma anya. This is the bread of poverty, the bread of affliction, lechem aini, the word that Sarah uses. Di achalu afasana biara in Mitzrayim. So what does it mean to say this is the bread of affliction or poverty, or this is like the bread of affliction or poverty? So the simple meaning is this. The simple meaning of this is based on a Ramban. Because if you look in Parshas Riyeh, the Ramban says the Torah gives two different reasons why we have a chiyuv of eating matzah. Matzah represents two opposite things. On one hand, matzah was the food that the Egyptians fed to their slaves. And that's why it's called lechemoni. It is the bread of poverty. It is the bread of afflicted people. The Ibn Ezra writes, who was a big traveler, that he went to India and he saw slaves in India that were always fed matzah, unleavened bread. The reason is because unleavened bread, as most of you will discover, stays in your digestive system a long time. And therefore, I have a slave, I don't have to give him a lot. So the Ramban says, the yisayid of lechem ayni is to remember, maror for sure, is to remember slavery. Lechem ayni is a reminder of slavery and affliction. That's reason number one. It is the matzah of slavery, the matzah of affliction. Now reason number two is the other story, that when we left Mitzrayim, we had to leave in such a rush, we could not let our matzah, our dough, rise. We had to bake it before it fermented, and therefore matzah is a remez to chipazam, how much Hashem hurried us to have geula. So matzah is a complex symbolic food. You see, maror is a zecher li'avdus, for sure. That's all it is, zecher li'avdus. Matzah is both a zecher li'avdus and a zecher l'cheirus. Matzah is a reminder of the lechem oni they ate in Mitzrayim, and it is a siman to the geula of lehispik. We didn't even have time to let our dough rise. Now it's interesting that at the beginning of the Maggid, we emphasize matzah as the bread of affliction and poverty. When Rabbi Gamliel gives the story of the matzah, he emphasizes lehispik b'tzeikem shel avosein olachmis. So matzah undergoes a redefinition, and indeed the Mefarshim say this is exactly parallel to the idea that each person must regard himself as if he's being taken out of Mitzrayim. So you begin the Maggid as a slave, and you end the Maggid as a Ben Chayrin. And that's why the matzah is the thing. Right now, this matzah is the matzah of a slave. But by the time I go through the Maggid, it becomes the lechem of Chayrus. That's why Rabban Gamliel gives a different reason for the matzah. And the Ramban says these are two taimim for matzah. Now, the other point to keep in mind is that since Hal Lachma Anya was Masukin in the Zman of the Golas, so in effect what we're saying is, ay, 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 the matzah that we're eating is just like the matzah that the Yidden ate as slaves, meaning we're not yet, as the Halach Manu goes on to say, we're not yet in a matzah of Cheres. Right now it's the bread of affliction. Yihi Ratzayim, that it should become the bread of Geula. Okay, and that's why it's Halach Ma'anya, the Achal of Asana B'yarid Mitzrayim. Okay, now there is another kasha, I'll save it a little later on, and that is, the Lahispik B'tzekim is very, very shver, because it's mashma from that story, that if the Egyptians would have given them time, they would have let their dough rise. But the problem is, they already were told beforehand they weren't allowed to have chametz. So let's try the whole mitzvah. Yeah, we'll get to that. If we get to Rabbi Gamliel, we'll talk about that. Okay. But this is the halachma. So the halachma anya continues. That is called dichven yesei v'yechal. Anyone that's hungry, come and eat. Called ditzrich yesei v'yifsech. Again, the Briskerov used to point out that Lagabe, the general meal, yesei v'yechel. Anybody that's hungry, come in off the street. Come in off the street. In fact, the Gemara says that there were Moroim, Tanoim, who used to have a sign outside of their house, come in, anyone that wanted to eat. But when it comes to the Korban Pesach, you can't really say, anybody who wants to eat, come in and eat the Korban Pesach. Because the Korban Pesach can only be eaten by people who became members of the Chabura at the time of Shechita, meaning to say, you have to sign up before the Korban Pesach is shechted. If I shechted my Korban Pesach for me and five people, let's say, and then you show up after the Korban Pesach was shechted and you say, you don't have a Korban Pesach to eat, I'm not allowed to give you my Korban Pesach, because that is an iser of a Korban Pesach, shelo limnuyav. So Mimela, the Briskerev says, Lagavi the Korban Pesach, it can't say anybody that's hungry. Kol Ditzich, anyone that needs a Korban Pesach, meaning he's properly registered for the Korban Pesach. Okay, so that is the first paragraph. Again, I'm going to be obviously very, very selective. After this, we have the Manishtana. The Manishtana is a fulfillment of what Rav Chaim considered to be the first of the structural elements that differentiate Sipur from Zechira, and that is She'ela Utshuva. I don't know if I told you this story that I remember when I was a child. We were invited to a Seder, and I still remember, you know, I was very young, but it struck me as very funny. I think I was even laughing that about the father had some sons who were asking a lot of questions about the Seder. And these were questions about the Seder. And the dad got impatient because he wanted to go Vayter with the Seder. So he says, stop asking questions. We have to do the Seder. You know, kind of missing the point. I'm missing the point a little bit there. Now, it's true that it is the Minhag Yisrael to say the Manishtana, so I'm not urging you to get rid of it. It should be said. But if you look at the Gemara in Arvei Pesachim, it actually turns out that this is Epesa B'diyevet. L'chatchila, someone should have their own questions. Elamai, you don't have questions, so we have pre-digested questions for you. Now, there are different nuschais, and people ask Akasha, some things are not mentioned, Dalit Kaisas are not mentioned, there are different things that are not mentioned. Why do I drink four cups of wine tonight, etc.? And obviously, too, this kid who's asking the Manishtana must be smarter than we think, because he's asking questions about things that haven't necessarily happened yet. Right? For example, the second question. All other nights we eat all vegetables. Tonight we eat maror. How does he know? We didn't eat the maror yet. Is it because he sees it on the table? He remembers last year? Well, why doesn't he remember the answer of last year?
We had him by the carpus.
You already announced it then, right? He took it in mind. But I just want to say, as a general rule, the Abar Benel has a very helpful comment here. And he says, and this explains why he's not asking everything. It's not stamazoi, why this, why that, why that, why that. But he's asking, Abba, what is it exactly that we're trying to experience here? Because some of these things are freedom. We're acting like B'nai Chayrin. And some of these things, we're acting like Avodim. So is this a zecher of avdus, or is this a zecher of cheres? So for example, the whole year we eat chametz and matzah, tonight only matzah. Now matzah gufa, as we just said, is both a simon of avdus, lechem oni, and a simon of geula and cheres. Maror is avdus. Dipping twice. Now again, the dipping twice also didn't happen yet. The first dipping is karpas, and the second dipping is the maror in chareses. But dipping was understood as a luxury, right? Kind of a luxury, kind of a... So even in maror, you're dipping the maror, but you're firzach like a ben chayren that has dips and sauces. So that's the cheres. And of course, mesubin, reclining, again, we don't really do it right unless you have a couch, but we, you know. The way we do a seva is not very comfortable, but a seva is supposed to be a very, very comfortable way, like a melech and the like, even though our seva is not really as good as it should be. So you see what the Rabbanel says. In other words, the kid is asking Akasha, what's going on? Matzah is cheres and avdus. Maror is avdus. Being matbil parmayim is cheres. Mesubim is cheres. Right? And the Rabbanel says, because people ask the kasha, you know, the Manish Tanya asks four questions, and not every question is directly answered. You can figure out an answer, but for example, why do we dip twice? Well, where in the Haggadah is there an explicit answer? Why we dip twice? I mean, the questions are not answered, really. Okay, Maror, you can figure it out. Okay, Maror and Matzah is explained by Rabban Gamliel. But the Rabbanel says the answer is actually Pashut. If the kid is asking, are we doing Avdus or are we doing Cheres? Teretz, Avodim Hayinu L'Paro V'Mitzrayim V'Yitzienu Hashem Elokeinu. Those four words are the answer to the Manish Tana. We're doing both. We're Margish the Avdus, so we should be Margish the Cheres. So the Rabbanel says the Teretz, the whole Manish Tana, is literally Avodim Hayinu L'Paray B'Mitzrayim. So the Rabbanel says that even though there are all sorts of other things that we do, you know, drinking four kaisas of yayin, etc., but the kid is not mentioning every single thing. He's picking emblematic ideas in which there's a stira between cheres and avdus. And the answer is you got to do both because that's what it means. Chayav adam liras asatzvei ki ilu hu yatsa mimitzrayim. Right? Okay. The Mishnah says, by the way, Bisman, when there was a Korban Pesach, the Manish Tana actually added a question about the Korban Pesach, that the whole year we have basar mevushal, cooked meat. Tonight we only eat roasted meat. That was actually a chelek of this. And the question of Haseber wasn't there. Okay. Yeah.
Now it's Lahatach.
Didn't hear you.
Now it's Lahatach. Tonight we eat.
Right.
Is that we don't eat
rest? That's correct. Now we don't. So it shouldn't get confused with the Korban Pesach. Now look at the first sentence: Avodim Hayinu L'Paray Mitzrayim. We were Avodim L'Paray, and Hashem took us out from there with a Yad Chazaka and Izraya Netuya. So the Netziv, and actually it's a very beautiful, very interesting explanation. These phrases appear in the Torah, and these phrases will appear in the Haggadah later. But what exactly is the nafkamina between Yad Chazaka, a strong hand, Zeraya Netuya, an outstretched arm? So the Netziv says that these are referring to two different inyanim. In the Navi Yecheskel, when the Yidden were in Golos, and many Yidden thought, oh, Hashem doesn't care about us anymore, so we can do what we want. They actually looked at Golos as an excuse. He says, the Eibishter rejected us, he divorced us, so once we're divorced, we're free to go our own way. There was such a taina. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I will be mamlech over you, biyad chazaka, with a strong hand. Do not think you can escape my malchus. Yad Chazaka, I will impose it on you. And indeed, this is the basic idea of Jewish history, that when Yidden want to forget that they're Jewish, Hashem uses the Umais Ha'ilam to make us remember. I'm sure you've heard over the years the really prophetic words of the Meshech Chachma of Meir Simcha. Now, the Or Sameach died in 1924, more than 20 years, 15 years before World War II broke out in 1939, 15 years before. But he writes in Parshas Bechukaisai that those Jews that think that Berlin is the new Yerushalayim, and they will take the culture of the Umos HaOlam, and they don't need Torah, and they don't need mitzvahs, and they will look for the Goyim to love them and accept them, they will see from that very Berlin a tremendous Chorban that will come out. Very, very prophetic words. And this is what you might even call the hidden blessings of anti-Semitism. To say, what does the Welt say? There's an old saying, if Yidden don't make Kiddush, the Goyim will make Havdalah. Meaning, if we're not Makadosh ourselves, the Goyim are going to be Mavdil us. So the Netziv says, Yad Chazaka is not referring to what Hashem did to the Mitzrayim. Yad Chazaka is what Hashem did to the Bnei Yisrael, particularly the 4/5 of Bnei Yisrael that died in the 3 days of darkness. Why did they die? Because they didn't want to leave. They liked Mitzrayim. Some Yidden, the Medrash tells us, were slaves, technically, but some slaves were wealthy. Some slaves made it. I remember once being in South Africa. So there's a famous big suburb, huge, huge black town outside of Johannesburg, Soweto. And Soweto is a slum, really a slum. But every once in a while, in the middle of the slum, you see this gigantic mansion in the middle of the slum. That's unbelievable. Some people live in the slum and they still, manage. So there were slaves who were rich. There were slaves who were Paro's personal slaves. In fact, that's what the Netziv said. The Netziv touches up, Avodim Hayinu LiParo B'Mitzrayim, meaning some people were slaves in Egypt and some people were slaves in Paro. For the people who were slaves in Paro, they didn't want to go, so Hashem had to use the Yad Chazaka to punish them. Now the Zroya Netuya refers to what Hashem did to the Mitzrayim, that his outstretched arm extracted us from the grasp of Mitzrayim. So it's really making an important point that there were many, many Yidden who didn't want to leave Mitzrayim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to bemanish them. It's very reminiscent when Napoleon was going through Europe, and Napoleon promised great emancipation of Jews. Jews would be free, they'd have civil rights, they could own property, they could vote, and Napoleon attacked Russia, and the life of the Yidden in Russia was very, very bad. They were poor, they were persecuted. There was the cantonists, where children were drafted into the army at 8, and they had to be there for 30 years. It was like a felicha life, and Napoleon would have made life much, much easier for the Jews. So there was a machlekes among the gedolim in Europe. Should we be mispalel for Napoleon's victory over the Tsar, or the Tsar's victory? So the Baal HaTanya, who lived in Russia, held that we're better under the Tsar, because although the Tsar makes it so difficult for us, but the Tsar is Meshaber the Guf, but we know we can't be like the Goyim, our neshamas are pure. If Napoleon comes in and gives us all this freedom, we'll forget about Hashem. And Ad Kedei Kach, that the Baal HaTanya actually raised money for the Tsar, and that came back to haunt Chabad when 100 years later was the Communist Revolution. So one of the pretenses that they put Lubavitcher Rebbes in prison was, oh, you are a counter-revolutionary because you gave money to the Tsar, 100 years ago. I mean, whatever, the Russians, they say the Russians have memories like elephants. They remember that every little midas adin that they could use as some type of excuse. But that's what the Baal HaTanya said. Baal HaTanya said that when Yidden had this unlimited freedom, then they bedafka assimilate, and therefore the Jews who did well in Mitzrayim, they did well, they bedafka wanted to stay. And they said, what do I need Eretz Yisrael? What do I need Torah? Etc. So that's the Yad Chazaka of Israel and Netuya.
Oh, is there anything? Yeah.
Say again?
What was the Zorah
Netuya? Zorah Netuya is what Hashem did to the Mitzrayim, the Makos, and the like. In other words, the Yad Chazaka is imposing his Malchus on Am Yisrael. Zorah Netuya is the arm that took us out of the grasp of Mitzrayim. Now, again, obviously we can't do every word, but I just want to give you highlights of some paragraphs. Now, after the Avodah Mayinu paragraph, we have the famous mice of the all-night Seder, and this is a very, very important point, that even though these were great, great Chachamim, they were Isaac and Yitzias Mitzrayim, until the Talmidim said, it is now time for Kriyat Shema of Shachris. And the Mefarshim point out that, number one, these were Chachamim, and number two, Rabbi Akiva came from Gerim, so he did not directly have ancestors in Mitzrayim, and Rabbi Yoshua is a Levi, and Shevet Levi was not Nishtabed in Mitzrayim. So it's adding a point that, number one, even if you're a Chacham, number two, even if you're a Ger, and number three, even if you're a Levi. So in all three of those situations, you might have a Hava Amina. Why does a person have to be Marich? But a person does have to be Marich. But the next paragraph, yeah.
I imagine this,
what does Zorah Netuya refer to? So Zorah Netuya means what Hashem did to the Egyptians. Meaning, the example is, the Medrash tells us, I should add this Medrash, that the Jewish people in Mitzrayim was like a bird in the hand of a hunter. If a hunter just moves his hand a little bit, the bird gets crushed. So Hashem had to, the Makos were like a Zoroah. He stretched his arm to take the bird out of the hand of the Egyptian. So Yad Chazaka is what Hashem did to the Jews. Zoroah Netuya is what Hashem did to the Mitzrayim, the way we normally understand it. The Makos and the like. Now, the next story is very, very difficult in Pshat, based on Rav Chaim in particular, but even in terms of Pashut Pshat. We have the story of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. And by the way, the Rambam is Gores. Omar Lahem. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said it. In other words, this was said at the Seder, meaning this is actually the Seder talk, something he said at the Seder that went all night. Behold, I am like a man of 70 years old. So, well, everyone knows the Gemara in Brachos that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah became the Nasi, because Rabban Gamliel was the Nasi, and Rabban Gamliel had a number of machloksim with Rabbi Yoshua, and he was Mevazeh Rabbi Yoshua, and finally there was a palace revolt where Rabban Gamliel was deposed, at least temporarily, and the question becomes who should be the replacement. They didn't want to make Rabbi Yoshua the replacement, that would have been too much of a bizayon to Rabban Gamliel. So the compromise candidate was Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, who was only 18 years old, but a nace happened that his beard turned white, so people were mechabed him like a zaken, and that's the meaning, I am like a person that is 70. Now, the Gemara seems to indicate this was a maisa nace. My wife likes to say it was a more rational thing, that when he had this great responsibility of being a nasi, you know, it turns his hair white, and she likes to remind me that our friends who didn't go into the Rabbanus, my age, still have dark, dark beards, so there is something to be said for that. And the Arizal says that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was a Gilgal of Shmuel HaNavi. Now Shmuel HaNavi died very, very young. Shmuel HaNavi died at 52 years old. So Zakti Ari, when Elazar ben Azariah was born, he got a neshama that already spent 52 years on earth. So when he's 18 years old, his neshama had 70 years. Okay, so the kids are whatever it is. But then he says, behold, I am like a person of 70. V'lo zachisi, and I didn't merit, sheteyomer Yitzias Mitzrayim Baleilais. I didn't merit that Yitzias Mitzrayim should be said at night until Ben Zoma made a drasha that if it would have said Yemei Chayecha, that would be the day. Kol Yemei Chayecha means the night. Now, if you ask yourself a simple question, why is this paragraph in here? So a person might answer superficially, well, listen, we're making a Seder at night, so we need to establish there's a mitzvah to do it at night, so I need to have the drasha to tell me to do it at night. But that's not emes. This drasha has nothing to do with the mitzvah of Sipur. For example, the Chachamim. The Chachamim say only the day and not night. What? So they made the Seder in the day? Of course not. That's a machlokes b'chol yamos hashana. So, even if you hold that the whole year, you know, the Iker Geul is in the daytime, Leil Pesach has to be at night, because of Korban Pesach, Makas Bechoros. So, what is the purpose of bringing in Rav Elazar ben Azaria and the drasha that he makes from Ben Zoma, if that is only Nogeya, the mitzvah of Zechira, Leil Chol Yamos Hashana? Right, that's why we say Parshas Sitches at night, even though there's no Sitches, because Ani Hashem Elokeichem, Sheretz Seisi Eschem, Be'eretz Mitzrayim. It has no Shaychus at all. It's not relevant. It is not the predicate for why we're making a Seder at night. In fact, why we make a Seder at night, we'll actually have another drasha in the Haggadah of Vayikra. Why Leil Pesach? When, who says, V'igadat Lovincha, B'yomahu, is a night, maybe it's day. That's another drasha. That's not this drasha. That's a very good kasha. It's a very good kasha, even in terms of Pashat Pshat. Because most people, if they're not familiar with the context of this, are assuming that this is the aside of why we're doing this at night now, and it has no shaychus at all. But the emes is, like Rav Chaim, there's a shtickle, a little bit of a yishuv, and the Tziv actually says as a b'feirush this way, and that is the following. What we're trying to prove is, we're trying to prove that there's a concept of being marbe. The more you do, the better. And the way we're proving it is this. Listen, you can't possibly say that you're yaitzei with minimal, because minimal you have to do at night anyway because of zechira. So al korchach, Sipur must mean riboy. Now Rav Chaim enumerated what the riboy is. Meaning, bishlama, like the Chachamim, you could have said, okay, the minimal that I do during the day, the rest of the year, is the minimal I do at night. And that's the Chiddush, right? You could say, that's the Chiddush. But if I establish that what? If I establish the idea that minimal you already have to do at night, then behechrich, what is the Torah telling me with Sipur? More than minimal. It's a raya to kol hamarbe harezeh meshubach. Which is interesting, according to that, you only have a raya like Ben Zoma, not like the Chachamim, but that's totally on another thing. Because Rav Elazar ben Azaria says, we got Ben Zoma's drasha, finally I have Ben Zoma's drasha, and now I know Zechira is at night. Well, that's a very, very small victory, because as soon as you give me Ben Zoma's drasha, you then give me a drasha, the Chachamim say, well, we're not impressed, we have another drasha. Because Ben Zoma's drasha is Yemei Chayecha are days, call Yemei Chayecha as a night. And now you got to do it at night. This is the whole year, not Leil Pesach. But the Chachamim don't darshan that way. The Chachamim darshan, Yemei Chayecha is daytime. Kol Yemei Chayecha says, even when Mashiach comes. So I would have a Havamina, what? The Nisim of Mashiach are so great that I no longer have to talk about Yetziat Mitzrayim. The answer is, I still have to talk about it, because that's the foundation of everything. There wouldn't have been an Am Yisrael without Yetzias Mitzrayim. But the pashtus of this is that these two drushas are mutually exclusive. The whole question is, what is the call being marbe? Ben Zoma says the call is being marbe night. And Einochinami, the Gemara says, according to Ben Zoma, you're not going to mention Yetzias Mitzrayim when Mashiach comes. You're not going to mention it. The Chachamim, however, who say, Kol is marbe limos ha-mashiach. The Pashtus, they say, you don't do it at night, except for Leil Pesach. In other words, it's either Mashiach and not the night, or the night and not Mashiach. They're mutually exclusive, because Kol can only be marbe one of those things. With this, Rav Chaim has an interesting teretz. You know, when the Rambam counts the mitzvahs, so the Rambam does not count Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim in the minyan of the 613 mitzvahs. Even though the Rambam says there's a mitzvah d'oraisa to mention Yitzias Mitzrayim every day and every night, it is not listed in the 613 mitzvahs. Sipor is. Zechira is not listed. And the Achronim ask Akasha, if the Rambam holds in the Mishnah Torah that there's a chiyuv to be maskir, why does he not count it as a mitzvah? So they say b'shem Rav Chaim the following teretz. The Rambam paskins you gotta be maskir at night, like Ben Zoma. If the Rambam paskins you gotta be maskir at night, because kol yemei chayecha is marbe night, that means the Rambam would paskin you're not gonna be maskir bizman ha-mashiach, because it's haba hatalia. So in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, the Rambam lays down rules. What do you include in Taryag and what you don't include in Taryag? Because there are many commandments that you don't include in Taryag. For example, we don't count the commandment, thou shalt not eat from the Eitz Hadas. It's a mitzvah. But the Rambam has criteria. In fact, that's the most lumdish part of the Sefer. So one of the criteria is you don't count in the Taryag mitzvahs mitzvahs that are not eternal. Mitzvahs that are going to be batel are not counted in Taryag. So that's why the Rambam says we don't count the Yisr of keeping the man until the morning, etc. So Zakt Rav Chaim, the reason why the Rambam doesn't count Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim is because since it's going to be batel Limos HaMashiach, it is called a mitzvah Haneheges L'Shah, and a mitzvah Haneheges L'Shah is a mitzvah. It is a mitzvah. But it's not the 613. The 613 are the mitzvahs that are always going to be noyeg. This is what Rav Chaim says. So I just want to point out that according to Rav Chaim, therefore, like the Chachamim, you're not that you're maskir limos ha-mashiach, you're not maskir at night. And if that's so, the Raya, the Haggadah wants to bring, that you have to be marbe because there's a mitzvah of zechira at night, is only a Raya like Ben Zayma. And it's not a raya like the Chachamim. Like the Chachamim, you have a scenario where, who says I have to make a big Seder? Maybe I can just speak right. So I want to point out that there's a Noida B'Yehuda, much earlier, who says the opposite of Rav Chaim. The Noida B'Yehuda actually says like this. There is a machlokes, Ben Zayma and the Chachamim. How do you darshan, what do you darshan from the word kol? Ben Zayma darshan's call to include night. The Chachamim darshan call to include Mashiach. And Ben Zayma taka holds, the Gemara says this beferis, that you're not going to be maskir limos ha-mashiach. But says the Noida B'Yehuda, and he has a lot of rayas for this, that even though the Chachamim use call to be marbe Mashiach, they're also moda. You read it at night. But they hold, you don't need a pasuk. You don't need a riboy for night, because it's a dover pashat that night was a zman of geula because of makas bechoros. Therefore, their failure to use kol to be marbe night does not mean they hold you don't mention it at night. They just hold you don't need a riboy for night. So it turns out both mandi amrim say you're maskir at night. Ben Zoma says it because of a drasha, and the Chachamim said because of a swara. Now, if that's true, that undermines Rav Chaim's mahalak, because the only proof Rav Chaim has that the Rambam paskins like Ben Zoma is only because the Rambam says you have to be maskir at night. Because Rav Chaim understood the Chachamim say you don't, But if I say, even like the Chachamim, you're masker at night, even though you're masker limosa Mashiach, so it turns out it is an eternal, it is a mitzvah that's eternal. So why isn't it counted? So that's a, okay, that's a kasha. But all I'm saying is that there's a big machlokas, whether there's a machlokas about night. Okay? So this is, as they say though, whoever you learn, I don't want to complicate things too much. I mean, it's a complicated thing. There's a lot more to say about this. But the point I just want you to understand is this is not a drushy kasha, meaning this is not asking, you know, people sometimes like to make little diyukim and big thing. This is a simple pashat pshat kasha. It's a very, very simple kasha. What is the connection between a discussion about zecher liyetzias Mitzrayim and the mitzvah of Haggadah? It has no direct shaychus, right? This is a pshat question. So however you want to answer it, it's at least something that you need to ask yourself for the thing that people don't think about this. See, again, I don't want to harp on this. Sometimes I think people like so much like little diyukim and little flourishes, but just the pashut pshat of the narrative is not very, very clear to them. Okay, so once again, though, therefore, we introduce a paragraph. Now, this is not, now again, I also want to point out, this is all introductory stuff. This is not the mitzvah of Sipur yet. See, we're so awake now, and we're active, and, you know, we're interested, but, you know, we put all of our kaychas in hakdamas. See, the part that is really the guts of the magid is the part that people fall asleep on. The parsha of Bikurim, we'll talk about that, you know, and people don't find that interesting. But the emes is, the four sons, all of these things, Arba Banim, this is Hakdama. This is not the mitzvah of Sipur. In other words, what we're doing now is we're describing the way you should do the mitzvah. Number one, be marbe. And we give examples of a seder that went all night. Number two, a proof that you have to be marbe is because zechira you had to do anyway. So all that's doing is proving that what you have to do is be marbe. Now, the next thing about the four sons, what is that trying to establish? That's telling you how to be marbe. That there is a concept, chanoch lenar al pi darka, that every child has his own derech, his own personality, and when you teach and when you're madrich, you don't do it in one way. Every single person has to have a different mahalach. Now again, that's not part, that is not doing the mitzvah, that's telling you how to do the mitzvah. So you're really doing a lot of advanced stuff before you get to the mitzvah. Right? We're not doing the mitzvah yet. The Arba Banim is not a fulfillment of the mitzvah. It is a guide to a parent and a Rebbe and a teacher how to convey messages to children. So we'll stop here. I just want to be, just say one introductory thought about the Arba Banim. We have these four children. So first of all, the Sfarim tell us that they're not only four different kids, but even within each and every one of us. Sometimes we're Chacham, sometimes Rasha, sometimes Tam, sometimes Shehinu De'Elisho. We ourselves have different aspects within our personality. But the Maral points out that the simple way of looking at it is there are two good ones and two relatively bad ones in some sense. The Chacham is the person whose connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is primarily through his seichel. He has what you call the Gemara Cup, right? The Lifusha Ben Yeshiva. He loves to learn, he loves to analyze, he loves complicated questions. Chukim, Mishpatim, Edus, what's the chiluk here? The Tam, the Maral says, is the person whose connection to the Eibishter is through Regesh, through emotion and Emunah. Tam, simple. Doesn't mean mentally deficient, but it means, Mazos, tell me what's going on, I just need to have a general idea. And then I will be mizdabek to HaKadosh Baruch. Right, so the Chacham is the world of the Seichel, and the Tam is the world of the Regesh. The Rasha represents hostility, Hisnagdus. Now, the Ein Yedei Elisho, it's interesting. Some people think, oh, the Ein Yedei Elisho is a baby or a retarded person. Maral says, no. Ein Yedei Elisho is a person who is so uninterested, he can't even think of something to ask. So he says there are two types of people who are distant from Hashem. Some people are distant from Hashem because they're hostile, and some people are distant from Hashem because they're bored. You know, it's like the old joke, what is the difference between apathy and ignorance? Or ignorance and apathy. It says, I don't know and I don't care. And indeed, that is the difference between ignorance and apathy. And the Maharal writes, apathy is actually much worse than hostility. Because hostility means there's something about the Torah that's affecting me, and I don't want to be affected, but it's affecting me, so I get angry. Apathy means there's nothing here. And that's very, very dangerous. Meaning hostility, the Torah is speaking to him, and he doesn't want to accept the message, so he gets upset. Apathy, nothing's happening. And that's the bechina of the Eina Yodei Elish. I'll just end with a beautiful, beautiful maisa, that there's a kibbutz in Eretz Yisrael, Ein Charod. And Ein Charod was a kibbutz that was founded by the Shomer HaTzair, which was really communist, basically. Communist and anti-religious. Not just non-religious, anti-religious. Ad kidei kach, that when the Ein Charod kibbutz was founded, they made a rule that no Sifrei Kodesh are allowed here, no davening is allowed here. There was a rule in the kibbutz that davening was not allowed. Nothing was allowed. They had Yom Kippur parties with chazerim. I mean, you know, they would eat chazer on Yom Kippur, you know, all of these in Yonim. So what happened was that in 1945, after World War II, one of the parents of a kibbutz member who had come over earlier was released from a concentration camp, released from Auschwitz, and came to Eretz Yisrael to live with his son. And the father happened to be religious. Not only that, but in his 4 years in a concentration camp, he managed to smuggle a Sefer Torah, a little Sefer Torah, that he kept with him for 4 years. If the Germans would have found it, they would have shot him, and they would have destroyed the Torah. But Baruch Hashem, he managed to bring a Sefer Torah to Eretz Yisrael. He was so happy. Of course, he wasn't fully familiar with the kibbutz rules, that somehow, when the members of the kibbutz discovered that the man brought a Sefer Torah onto the grounds, it's like the Saddam Sheikh Saddam surrounding Lot's house when he brings in a guest. Everybody surrounds. And they break down the door. And they take the Torah. And they throw it over the fence into the mud. And they say, we will not allow this to stay even 1 minute in our kibbutz. And this was really such a chilul Hashem that even the secular press, Mariv and Yediot, Haaretz, all of those papers, they said, well, you know, we're not in favor of enforcing religion, but, you know, this is a little too much. You know, let the man alone, you know. And the Gedalim declared a tainus over the Bizayon HaTorah. Really awful, awful. So the Panovich Rav said at the time that he felt like Rabbi Akiva. Remember when Rabbi Akiva walked by the Chorban with the Chachamim and the Yeshua, the fox, left the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So they were crying, and Rabbi Akiva was laughing. And when they asked Rabbi Akiva, why are you laughing? And he said, why are you crying? He said, well, we're crying because Shualim, like foxes, are coming out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And Rabbi Akiva said, I'm laughing. Because now that I see, I think when I said Russia, that the Chorban became mamish literal, I now know the Geula will be literal. So the Panovich Rav says, I'm laughing as well. Because he says, for sure, this is a Chilul Hashem, and for sure you have to rise Kriya. For sure. But he said, the fact that they couldn't be Seivel a Sefer Torah for 1 minute means the Torah was speaking to them. Because if they thought the Torah was garnished, I mean, let's say some guy had Chinese, some book of China. In other words, let the crazy man have his crazy thing. What are they going so crazy? I can't have a Torah here. Says the Panovich Rav, because they knew. If the Sefer Torah stays in this property for even one night, something's going to happen to them. And they didn't want it to happen, Taka. But the Panovich Rav says, that's a Siman Tov. That means they're not dead. That means the Torah is saying something to them, which they don't want to hear. But it's saying something to them. Mimela, he said. The Panovich Rav says, I predict that there will be a Kailel in Ein Charod, And indeed, as the Gemara says, a chacham is greater than a navi. And 50 years later, 60 years later, now Ein Charad is not Bnei Brak, it's not that. But, you know, there's a minyan there every day. I mean, most of the kibbutz is not religious, but there are, you know, some Dati Lumi, some Shomer Shabbos people. I think there is a morning kailov, they come from some nearby place. So the embassy is, it's a place where a person could live, you know. And this is exactly what the Maral says. The She'ene de Elishol is a Shrek Lecha Avla. That's the person who is so uninterested. He can't even be margish anything to ask. The Rasha is better than the She'ene de Elishol. The Rasha is bothered by things. Now, on the other hand, I should say that the Babaji Rebbe's Machshava, where he points out that all of the four sons are Mechala Pachas at the Seder. We have to worry about the fifth son who didn't even show up. So even the Ein Yodei Lishael, L'chala Pachas, has enough of a feeling that he at least wants to show up. So there's a Madrega for everybody, and you have to try to do it. So we'll look at this Vayter, and I guess you want tomorrow. Okay, take care.
If you could just remind me.